Welcome to another episode of the Advocacy in Action series, which focuses on the people, policies, and activities in Columbus and DC that stand to impact your business. I'm your host, John Rizzo, VP of the Akron Canton Advocacy Alliance, and today we're holding a conversation with a candidate for the Ohio House, Vic Sandhu, as part of a broader effort to provide information to members regarding the November general election. Welcome, Vic.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Thank you, John, for having me here. Very nice setup at here at your studio. Thank you.
Awesome. So to start things off, could you just briefly describe your background, your experiences, what motivated you to run for office?
Yes. A master's in nautical science, a small business owner myself, married to a U.S. Air Force veteran. We have one son, 2 years old, a former township physical officer myself. So this is what motivated me the most to run for this open seat. It's an open seat. Steve Demetrio is current state rep running for state senate. When I became township fiscal officer, I saw a lot of money being in our checking account, and we were making monthly about $30,000, maximum $40,000 checks out, and then we were receiving some income in. So I aggressively invested all the money into Star Ohio program. And we were making a lot of money in interest. So that's what motivated me, with a new approach and new ideas. We can do a lot of good to the tax dollars of the taxpayers. And, converting from an obsolete OTAS accounting system in my township to auditor of state recommended UAN accounting system, which is very good accounting system recommended by auditor of state. It saves a lot of money in your audits, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of just, bringing that fresh perspective to a smaller local government. And that's what I'm going to do when I go to the state house. I'm a pro-business person. I want to create more jobs, retain more jobs here in our state. And that's what motivates me to run for this office.
Great. Zooming out, understanding you're approaching this role from a small business perspective, you just hit on a few key points that you would prioritize. Over the next 5 to 10 years, what do you view to be the biggest obstacle or opportunity, and how would you like to see the state address it?
So as we all know, we are right now awarded number one state to do business in the United States. For next 5 years, John, we cannot afford to go back. This is the path moving forward. We have to be better than what we are today, and we have to retain that spot for next 5 years. And that only happens if you have pro-business leaders involved in policymaking. As an advocate, you are yourself. You want people who understand how small businesses work. Small businesses are backbone of our economy, and we have to unleash that economic boom. That's very important. And I'm someone who can actually relate with person standing on that POS register and someone who's going to write that check. If your business is making money or not, your people need to get paid on Friday. That's very important. So I can relate with that everyday American, how it feels and what to do and what are the obstacles exactly to make our state business friendly and pro-business.
So just to go a little bit deeper on that, you mentioned Ohio, the CNBC ranking was just ranked as number one in the country to do business. At the time of this recording, that's still somewhat new news. People are still celebrating. It's great to hear. Going a little bit deeper, what, from your perspective, what are the levers that the state can pull to continue that trend to make sure that Ohio's pro-business, pro-growth?
Yes. I think from small businesses, I'll start from small businesses. From small businesses, I think licensure is a very big thing. And often, I was part of a business group. We had 60 small businesses, winery owners, small manufacturers, gas station owners, and different kind of business owners and their restaurant owners. So everyone have a common complaint that is licensure, or we can call it red tape. We need to, reduce that. And the timeline is a big thing. Let's say, for example, you want to have a liquor permit inspection in your restaurant, right? So So the restaurant owner is already paying rent on that property, renovating, and they're waiting for someone from Columbus to come in or someone from city to come in. They might take 45 days, 50 days. So we got to streamline the whole process so that, you know, they can save the time and money and they can get things going. So that's one of the big thing, I think. Even for bigger businesses also, I think red tape is big thing. We have to work on that to bring some policies which are good for both ends.
So focusing on just your district specifically, or even just this region, the county, what do you see to be the greatest opportunity for economic growth here at home?
Yeah. So my district is a suburb district, but we have a lot of manufacturing hubs down there. Even Streetsboro is one of the only intersection from 80 from Turnpike in the Portage County. And it's a big manufacturing and industrial hub. So we have to make sure that we create jobs. We do not want like more storage facilities which are occupying that piece of land and not creating jobs. And that's what I think. I've talked to a few mayors and they are very focused on that. They want industry that is creating jobs and bringing, let's say, 50 to 500 people work in there, come in there, live in there. I think it's about a vision and then we execute. We need to have a business plan first to execute that business plan into existence.
So speaking of business plans, one of the most common concern or issue that we hear from just in the chamber world from our members is workforce, you know, attracting and retaining talent. As a member of the legislature, how would you address workforce shortages and aim to better align educational programs, skills training opportunities with industry needs?
Yes. So I think retaining youth has been an issue for our state from more than a decade, I'll say. Weather is one thing. We cannot do anything about our weather. You know, we got to bear that, right? And second is incentives. You know, like we can copy other states like Florida. You know, a lot of youth goes down to Florida, you know, Texas. Now they're moving down there. We have to see what kind of policies and incentives they're giving to our youth. For example, you know, first-time home buyers, right? It's an obstacle for our youth to buy their very first home. So we want to make sure when they get their paycheck, you know, we give them a bigger paycheck. Either we work on their, you know, whatever we can give them. Either we can work on their state income tax. You know, we are actually on a very lower level when it comes to state income tax. But when it comes to property taxes, you know, although someone is renting or owning. So we are very high. We are probably number fifth or sixth. So we are addressing our property tax issue as well, moving in a good direction. And we want to make sure that we give them some incentive to retain them here in our state. Because let's say, if we are just saying, are we going to create jobs and we're going to retain them, I don't think that's going to execute the workforce issue. To execute the workforce issue and retain that workforce, we need to have a plan for them. And I have a good plan. And that's why I think I'm also preferred business candidate by Ohio Chamber of Commerce. And God willing, when I go to Columbus after this November, I will do good things.
Fantastic. So you mentioned income tax, you mentioned incentives for home buyers, things like that. Are there other areas of taxation or regulation or just generally fiscal policy? What tweaks or changes would you like to see? You know, if you had a magic wand right when you take office, what were some things that you would like to see immediately implemented?
So are you asking for a business owner's perspective or workforce retention perspective?
Either and.
So in the past, if you see a CAT tax for small businesses, as small business owner, it hurts a lot, especially to small business owners. If your gross receipts were going above $2 million, we used to pay more than $15,000, you know, that kind of cat tax to our state. And now they have, you know, the threshold has gone above $6 million. I think I do not want you to quote me on that number, but it's $6 million. I was involved in that effort with State Rep Bill Romer. He was chairman for Ways and Means Committee. So those kind of things, make small businesses flourish. And then they can, when we are talking about affordability at whole, right? So now you see all those small businesses when you go and tap your credit card, right? So there is an option. So the credit card fee is kind of pushed on you as a consumer and customer. So all that 50 cent, 30 cent adds up in your affordability, right? So when we give business owner a break, like a cat tax break, right now they're saving $10,000, and with inflation, $2 million in gross receipts is very common for a decent size of small business. So when we are giving them a $10,000, $15,000 break, maybe they can think, okay, now I should not push those credit card charges to the consumer. So those small steps, right, those small steps actually adds up and helps everyone. And that's who I am. Means, sometimes people get lost into our federal politics, into division. Right now, you can see we are very divided, left and right. So I think all those issues are there, but these small issues, affect everyone's pocket. And that's where I'm focused on. And that's what I want to do, things which matters to you on a daily basis.
Great. Thank you. From an infrastructure perspective or an economic development perspective, what investments do you think are most critical, whether it's things like roads and bridges, broadband, energy? Where would you kind of prioritize your time and attention in terms of priority?
Yes. So I'm also in touch with Ohio Construction and Trade Unions as well. I've talked to them multiple times. Actually, they have endorsed me also in this race, ACT Ohio. The thing is, so we need construction in our state. For one, we need construction jobs, right? And we do new construction, we create new businesses, we create new, like I was telling, few of the mayors in my district, they are focused to bring companies who can bring 50 to 500 jobs in their city. Right, that benefits local, and also this is a way if someone can go to work just 10 minutes from their home, it's easier for them, right? So that's how also that's another point we can, retain the workforce. So yes, I'm very favorable for new construction. We have to have new constructions and create more jobs.
Great.
In that scenario.
From maybe a higher level perspective, how important do you think it is to ensure stability and predictability in lawmaking? We hear a lot from business owners about, the ambiguity of the law sometimes, largely at the federal level, but also sometimes at the state level. How important to you in policymaking is predictability?
So here's a path for that. Any policymaking or any bill introduced in the House, right? And I'm very strong believer, for example, if it's a healthcare bill or it's a small business bill, right? So we have to go and talk to those people. For example, you're advocating for small businesses, right? Whoever represent your governmental affair, right? And you cover part of my district in Summit County, I'm more than happy to give a call to your guy who is representing you guys in the governmental affair. Like, okay, we are bringing this policy. What are your thoughts? How is this going to affect to the business owner you guys are representing? Same goes for our, friends in Farm Bureau for agricultural needs, healthcare. That's why there is a process. That's why we have those committees. So that, whenever the bill goes in committees, we listen to everyone. And you often see whenever a bill goes into a committee and that bill comes out of committee, there are a lot of changes because of that. So that's the real democracy. And we believe in that. And we have to listen to people, their thoughts, and make some necessary changes, which we have to make.
Awesome. So fast forward, let's say you win in November, you take office in January. What does success look like if you look 2 years into the future? What does success look like for you, for your district? What are some things that you would hope to accomplish?
Yes. So often sometimes candidates, they forget when we go down in Columbus, it's a teamwork. One state rep cannot change the whole world, right? So it's a 2-year term. It's a tough job. It's just 2 years. And, you know, the first year we are going through our, state operating budget and all that kind of stuff. But my goal is I'm a tax and numbers guy. So I'm more focused on affordability and tax reforms in our state. I think I'm going to spearhead on those issues and get it done within a 2-year span, right? I can sit down here and talk the world, but if I cannot achieve the goals, it does not matter.
Great. So before we wrap up, and I'll invite you to provide some closing remarks and maybe a call to action where people can go to learn more about you and your campaign, I want to do a quick round of rapid fire questions, the responses to which in as few of words as possible.
Okay. I'll try my best.
All right. What do you think the biggest barrier to business growth in Ohio is?
Red tape.
One policy you would change or implement immediately?
For businesses, right? I think tax reform.
Industry with the most growth potential?
Manufacturing. Our state is big on that. I think we can grow more on that.
One word describing Ohio's economic future?
It's going to be great.
Biggest misconception about state government?
That they do not care about local governments. They actually do.
Thank you for that, Vic. Any closing remarks, calls to action for folks listening to the podcast?
I just want to say to everyone, you can go online and look up Sandu for Ohio and learn about my campaign. You can reach out to me, get involved. Sandu is a guy who is everyday American. That's all I can relate with everyone. I can, understand what's going on. And that's the guy, and that's the kind of person you need in the state house, who you can connect with. You know, as a candidate, I can, speak very highly about me and this and that. But, I'm just a normal guy. That's what I want to tell voters. And I want them to read about me, reach out to me, get involved, and remember Sandu can do. That's what I did.
Love it.
In my township, right? So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And my cell phone, 216-870-0354. You would be shocked. I have my cell phone number on my literature, and someone called to test. And I picked up the call, and he goes like, I thought it's just going to be a robot call or a recording, and you answered. So it's just connecting to the people. That's my goal.
Great. Well, Vic, thank you. Best of luck with your campaign.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Ellie.